The R.R. Campbell Writes Cast is brought to you in part by listeners like you. Learn more about the great rewards available to Writes Cast contributors by visiting patreon.com/writescast. Thanks for listening. Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast. I'm R.R. Campbell, and for this episode, I was joined by writer of YA speculative fiction and Antioch University MFA candidate Meg Gertner for a conversation on managing the query process and how to handle rejection as a writer. Before we hop into the interview, I'd like to announce that the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast is now available on iTunes. If that's your preferred podcast listening platform, you can find this and all past and future episodes of the show using keyword Writes Cast in the iTunes store. While you're there, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review if you like what you've heard from the Writes Cast to date, as this will help other listeners find their way to these great conversations on writing brought to us by folks like Meg Gertner, Cheryl Meir, Marianne Hinkle, and more. That being said, it's time for this week's interview on how to handle rejection as a writer. Be sure to stay tuned afterward for updates on upcoming episodes. Well, thank you, Meg, for joining me on this episode.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we were going to be talking about handling rejection. I know you and I both right now are in the midst of the query process, which of course, comes with plenty of that. Why don't we start right away then? Walk us through why you might feel it's important that we maybe expect rejection as part of the writing process as a whole.
Sure. I think it's absolutely crucial to expect rejection just for your own sanity or mental health. I think querying is such a long game that requires, it requires patience, stamina, sheer bullheadedness, and knowing from the get-go that it will take months, it will take lots of work and even more revision throughout several rounds of querying, I think that just sets you up for more success.
Yeah, I think, too, the interesting thing is, you know, you mentioned several rounds of querying. Have you personally developed a strategy where you say, hey, I'm going to send out a batch of queries, wait, see what happens, see what kind of feedback I may or may not get, and then do you go back and revamp and try and take on a new strategy as you go forward? Or what's your strategy generally like?
That's exactly it. I basically, after each set of rejections, I will essentially diagnose where the breakdown was. So I'll take a look. Did this group of agents see just the query letter? Okay, then somehow that query letter wasn't working for them. So I will revamp that and see how a new draft of that works. And then as that second round of agents gets back to me, I'll see, oh, they started requesting some pages, but I'm still not getting acceptances. So maybe these first few chapters or these first few pages need a little bit of work. And I think it's really as you go through those rounds of querying that you get that sense of what needs more work, what is working, and where do you go from there?
I think that's a really smart way to do it, too. As I've, you know, started pushing more of my own queries out there, maybe you even have a similar strategy. What I found works for me is I've just put everything in a spreadsheet where I'll put the agent's name, the agency that they're with, the date that I queried, and then not only that, but say, hey, were they looking from the get-go? Were they just looking for the query? Did they want a query in first 5 pages? And then you can just track the dates that you submitted, the date that you heard back, and maybe any additional feedback. And I know that for me anyway, has been super informative in figuring out, okay, what do I need to do to make the kind of changes that you suggested? Is that similar to what your approach has been so far?
That's exactly it. I'm sure if we compared our spreadsheets, they would look very similar.
You know, and the interesting thing too is at first I had this strategy of anytime I got a rejection, for example, I would take that entire line of the spreadsheet and I wouldn't delete it because I know it's valuable information to have later, but I'd highlight it in red as like a signal of like, all right, don't expect to hear anything more from them. But as my spreadsheet got more and more red, I found myself getting more and more distressed. So I now just hide those rows. Don't delete them. I hide them.
Yes.
It sounds like you and I have both had our fair share of feedback and folks coming back and saying maybe the project isn't right for them, etc. What are some of the main reasons you found that different projects get rejected?
I think some of it comes from what I've seen agents say is that things get rejected when they aren't following the submission guidelines that agents specifically lay out. So that's a big one. Things will get rejected if the query letter itself is poorly written. I know for myself that my first version of a query letter was so vague, it just threatened doom and gloom and suspense, but gave no actual details to what might make that stand out from all the other suspense and doom and gloom stories. So I think the query letter has a lot to do with it. But then I've also found that a lot of agents reject things just out of personal taste. And there's really not much you can do there except perhaps do more research before even sending anything out to an agent. Make sure that that agent really is looking for what you have to offer.
Yeah, and I can attest to that personally. I know that you were also participating in RevPit on Twitter, and
yes.
I did get some feedback from one of the editors who I've actually now hired and will be working with in about a month or so here.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to be working with her because I found her feedback to be especially valuable, even when it was just being presented in Twitter. But when she got back to me by email, she specifically said that though I made her maybe pile, the only thing that held her back from requesting pages was, quote, a matter of personal preference. So, and sometimes I think that's important to know and to keep in perspective because realistically, I mean, I've had another agent just this week say that what they're really looking for is, and again, a quote, a perfect fit, because they need to know that your story is something they can feel really good about. And even if they love it, if they love the idea, if they don't have like that, I don't know, I can imagine it's like when you discover you have a crush on somebody, it's that warm, fuzzy feeling of like, this is it, this is going to be my perfect project. You know, there's a lot of room for preference to come into play.
Well, I think as a writer, I really want to find an agent who has that feeling about my writing. So I'm okay with receiving form rejection letters or just radio silence from agents because that signals to me they are not going to fight for this story like I would. They don't love it as much as I do. And so, as a writer, I really do want that agent to be a perfect fit for my story.
And then I think, too, getting out of maybe the query game a little bit and into the pitch game more, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to pitch directly to agents at a conference or anything like that, but that's something that really stood out to me was I've pitched a previous manuscript a few years ago and the one I'm querying now for Empathy, pitched that, you know, a month or so ago at this time. And it was great to have the opportunity to sit down, talk to those agents, get those page requests. But at the same time, I remember leaving those pitches and saying, boy, I hope Agent A is really, I'd love it if any of them were interested. But you have that conversation and can tell some are sincerely excited about the project compared to others who are like, oh, it's a cool idea, but they're not totally sure yet. So you really do need, you need someone who's just as excited as you are about having written the thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I think, too, some of the other things that I can at least say from my experience, or maybe it's worth sharing with listeners, because I know you and I both followed the 10 queries hashtag on, yep, absolutely, during RevPit. Some of the things that I saw were really common reasons for editors not wanting to pick up or ask for additional pages were things like getting those early pages bogged down in too many details.
Yes.
So that's kind of like the opposite, you know, of what you were saying in a way with your earliest query, where it was just kind of too vague. There is the possibility of going too hard and getting bogged down in strange details and backstory, because as writers, we need to know that stuff. But on the first pages, we have to get folks invested in character and invested in stakes right away. So I think that's one thing that also leads to rejections coming through.
Yeah, I mean, the main purpose of that first page is just to get readers to keep reading. So it has to be a bit of a hook itself, just to keep that interest going. Email can definitely prevent that from happening.
For sure. And that's, I think, too, is something that's really important to keep in mind here. We've talked about the, you know, querying in rounds, for example. The other thing is to make sure you get eyes on your first five pages and get eyes on your query and try and get direct feedback, because like you said, you knew your first query letter was too vague. I know the first query I wrote, if people want to check it out, it's actually still on my website under the Son of a Pitch post. But you can see how different that is compared to what it is now on the current projects page. And it's because you need to get feedback from people who aren't so emotionally attached to the writing that you've done.
Yes.
So let's talk about then, we've been doing our querying, et cetera. How do you personally handle rejection when you hear back from an agent or an editor that it's just not quite the right thing for them?
I think my strategy for handling it has changed in the months that I've been querying. When I first received rejections, I took it a lot more personally. And have found that you really can't do that because it isn't a personal affront on me to get that rejection. And so if it's, at this point, if it's a form rejection letter, just your basic, yeah, this isn't right for me sort of letter, I'll just log that in my spreadsheet and then move on to the next thing. It doesn't bother me at this point. If it is a more helpful critique, if I actually get a line of personalized feedback on my writing, then I'll decide if it's something I can implement. I recently had an agent who read my entire manuscript come back with just a single line of critique, saying that she liked the high stakes, the quick pace, but that she wanted to feel a stronger connection to the main character earlier in the story. And it was a single sentence, but I looked back at my story and realized, oh my gosh, she's completely correct. And so I ended up implementing that feedback and am now on a third round of querying with that updated manuscript. And so I think it's always nice to receive rejections that include a little bit of guidance of where to take the story from there or how to move on. But even without that, as I mentioned before, if I can diagnose and see exactly what that agent is responding to, whether it's just the query letter, whether it's the query and synopsis or the first few pages, then I'll see what changes I can make and move on from there.
I think that's a really positive way to handle it too. And realistically, we as writers, you know, we're trying to, unless you're a published author, if there's any listeners out there who already are, who have a better feel for this, but for folks like you and me, we're really in a position where we should be taking that feedback, and not personally, but taking it professionally and saying, hey, if I have an editor who says maybe they're not quite connecting with the main character, or some of the feedback I got on my previous manuscript was that the prose got in the way of having an opportunity to be with the character at all. The reason that agents or editors can say that is because that's a big chunk of what they're doing with their time. If they're going through their slush pile, if they're reading, you know, first five pages, some of the same trends and habits tend to stick out. So these are people whose advice we really should take for what it's worth. You know, don't think it's a personal thing, like you've said, because it's really not. They don't even know who you are as a person at all. They're just looking at it from the perspective of a story, and there's always a better way to tell the stories that we've written, I feel. So that's the important thing to keep in mind, I'd say.
Absolutely. And I think something else with rejection is that, and this just goes out to any listeners who do see rejection as, or do feel hurt by rejection. I think it is okay to just acknowledge that hurt and then treat yourself somehow, give yourself a break about it, but then get back to work. I know for myself that I always feel better knowing that I'm doing something, knowing that I'm somehow inching closer to my goal. And so sometimes that means looking back at that list of rejections. I think I've got about like 40 rejections so far. And just look at that list and see, yes, I got all these rejections, but I used that information to help move me forward. Because of those rejections, I've revised my manuscript or I've revised my query letter. So they weren't just a waste of my time to have gone through that experience. I think that's always helpful to remind myself of how far I've come in the process. And that gives me the courage to just keep moving forward with the process.
Yeah, I think you touch on two really great things in that, especially one being the idea of, you know, trying to treat yourself to get yourself out of a funk if you do feel yourself struggling with rejection. I think there's a lot of value in looking at your work and getting back to work and pushing yourself to continue to improve. But at the same time, if you are feeling that down, sometimes it's good to shift gears. I find if I need to go out, take a bike ride, take a walk, just pet the cats for a while, whatever it is, just get your mind off of that and give yourself a little bit of a distance once in a while too can sometimes be helpful.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I think you touched on really well there is this idea of looking back at the work you've done, whether even if it's just, you know, maybe it's those 40 rejections, maybe for some folks it's 80, some folks it's more than 100. You look at that pile and you see all that growth, and that's something that I would say I encourage all listeners, I encourage any writer, don't go like deleting your first query letter. Don't go deleting the old drafts of it. It's kind of the same thing when you write. I personally like to save all that stuff because even though sometimes I go back and I read it and I cringe and it's, you know, I ball my fists and wince a little bit, at the same time, seeing that goes to show how many, you know, how much progress has really been made over the course of time. And I think that in itself can be a bit of a reward.
Absolutely. And if I'm ever really feeling bad about a set of rejections, there are so many really well-known famous authors who will readily admit how much they've been rejected. You look at J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter was rejected many times before it got published. And then you look at someone like Stephen King. I love this story about him, how as he was growing up and starting to submit these short stories to different journals and magazines, he had a nail in his wall and he would put all of the rejection slips that he received on that nail. And that nail fell off at one point because it was just so loaded down by the rejection slips. And all he did was then just put in a stake instead and just kept accruing those rejection slips until they turned into acceptances. And to me, that's just a great reminder that the people who get published are the people who just won't take no for an answer. And it's the people who just won't give up. And that's really the main difference between those who get published and those who don't, is that the ones who get published don't give up on themselves and on their writing.
And I could not agree more. I actually saw this week a quote someone posted on Twitter. It was in a photo because it was way more than 140 characters. And I believe that the it was from Angie Thomas, who's the author of The Hate U Give, which came out in February. And if any listeners out there or you, Meg, haven't had a chance to read that yet, I highly recommend it. Whether folks are readers of YA or not, it was a really fantastic book. But this quote from her, the idea was, you're going to get no forever in a day. You're just going to keep getting no's. The no's are going to pile up. But then one day, all you need is one yes. You just need one. And there's like a real simple sort of eloquence to that where it's just like, yeah, that's totally correct. You can have 40, you can have 100, you can have 200 rejections. But if you can find the one person who's invested in your story and has had the opportunity to see what you've made that grow into, that's the yes you need. That's your foot in the door. And then you have an opportunity to press on and, you know, make the magic happen, so to speak.
Absolutely. That's a great quote.
Yeah, I was really excited to read that. Well, we've talked a little bit about how to handle rejection. How about how to not handle rejection? What are maybe some unhealthy things to do or ways to respond that we should try and steer ourselves and other writers away from when those rejections start piling up?
Well, I mean, it's kind of just the reverse of what we were talking about. Don't take it as a direct assault on your value as a person or on your value as a writer or even on the value of your writing. Certainly don't give up. And then some just etiquette issues. Don't go after the agents on social media. Don't heckle them either. I think it's a fairly small world, I would say, in publishing. And so you don't want to have your name get out there as someone who heckles people when they don't get their way.
I mean, it's just kind of about being a professional, right? I mean, don't go back to that agent in your email and say, like, don't try and plead or grovel with them or tell them they're making a mistake, or just be a reasonable adult. You know, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've even seen, for example, talking about how small the community can be at times. There's an agent that I follow on Twitter who said that she likes to do this thing where before she sends a rejection email, she finds the person on Twitter and sees, like, oh, are they, like, following me or something like that? Then she sends that email, and if she thinks about it, checks a few days later to see if they're still following her or not, just to see if, like, that person was only doing it for that connection or if they're actually interested in learning. And I thought that was kind of funny.
And that's a good point. I think it's important to recognize the value of building those relationships on social media with different agents, with different editors, just for the opportunity to learn, even if it doesn't directly promote your own work or your own opportunity of being published. But I think there is so much to learn from the agents, and they all seem to be very willing to share their knowledge, share their experience with authors. And I think in general, that's something that struck me as I've gotten more involved on Twitter with the various writing communities, is that the writing community at large is very supportive and the agents are very supportive. I think that's helpful to remember, that agents don't want authors not to succeed. They want to be excited by our work. They want to find what they're passionate about and what they can really promote and publish. And so I think having that expectation that agents are our friends, and so we can develop those relationships and not be discouraged if particular agent relationships don't work out.
Yeah, and again, I could not agree more. And this is for any listeners out there who might not be on Twitter, for example. I really encourage you to get involved and be a part of, whether it's just the hashtag AmWriting community, or there's plenty of games that you can get involved with. It's a great way to have a sort of digital handshake, and you meet a nice core, like, group of online friends. And as dorky as that might sound, they're great people to have conversations with, because we as writers, you know, we need to have an opportunity to speak with other writers, to learn from agents and editors and learn from one another, because that's another really big part of growth and another big part of having a support network for maybe dealing with a tough day of rejection if the inbox is piling up with those, you know, I'm sorry, but kind of emails.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, why don't we shift gears here a little bit and talk a little about your work that you're querying, and if you want to, go ahead and read a selection from it. So give us a little breakdown of what this what your querying work is like right now.
Sure. So my novel is titled The Forgotten. It is the first in a trilogy. It is YA speculative thriller. And the pitch that I've been working on is: brain wiped, Ev undergoes brutal psychological tests to regain her memories and become a superhero. But her abusive childhood is best left forgotten, and the capitalist and nationalist interests she was created for might not be worth protecting. And so I have brought my first chapter here. It's fairly brief, so this won't be too long. Chapter 1. My breath tastes nasty. It's the first thing I notice. Mouth scuzzy and dry, I muster the will to lick my lips and run my tongue over my teeth. The second thing I notice is a dull throbbing at my forehead. The pain sharpens into brief agony as a piercing light warms the back of my eyelids. When the glare fades, I blink my eyes open and see a hazy blue and red swirl. Another blink and another, and my vision clears to reveal a scantily clad superhero flying across the cover of a comic book. Huh? I force my body to move, lifting my head up from where it had been resting on crossed arms over the comic. My muscles protest as I sit up in my chair and extend my arms overhead. Stretching my neck to the left and wincing at the sharp crick, I spot a young woman at a table across an aisle. She sits up, red sleep mark on her cheek. Beyond her, a young man reaches a hand up to adjust mussed hair. Beyond him, someone else, and then another aisle. On and on, tables of three, lined up in rows with short aisles in between. I twist to the right. Two more people at my table, more tables beyond. Ahead of me, behind me, row upon row of tables face the front of a dimly lit cavernous room. There must be dozens of us here, hundreds maybe, all neatly arrayed, all looking around in confusion. Speaking of which, where am I? A sudden hand claws at my arm, grabbing tight. I imagine the fragile veins breaking, blood bursting in a bruise. The boy to my right looms large in the dim lighting, getting close, too close. His spit flecks my skin as he asks, "Where are we? Who am I? Who are you? Do you know? Hey, I'm asking you, do you know?" I turn away from his eyes, too wide, too needing. In front of me, boys and girls are whispering, talking, crying, turning, repeating, "Who am I? Who are you? Where are we? Do you know? No, do you? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Hey, listen to me. I'm asking you a question." I rip my arm out of the boy's grasp and look around at snapshots that make my heart sink. Gasping frenzy, shouting questions, red maws, ashen gaping faces, bile rising, swallowed, melting, slack-jawed, eyes white, wide, pinprick irises, gleaming grotesque confusion, hands outstretched, reaching, touching, grabbing, reaching, I recoil, jerking my chair back with a harsh screech. I close my eyes, but the buzzing, the chattering rises like a whine, like a gnat, like a flat-lined heart. The heat, the sweat, the blood rushing to my face. I push away the churning of my gut, the aching at my temple, my chin falling heavy to my chest as thousands of hairs rise on my arms and a deep cold seeps into my bones, and I reach into my own mind, clawing and scratching away at the darkness, the cobwebbed corners for something, anything, anything to separate me from this demon host that surrounds me. An opaque, unforgiving fog rises. The dull thump of a heartbeat batters loud and insistent in my ears. Against my crammed shut eyelids, lights dot and spark at the corners of my eyes. I open them. Before me, the superhero on the cover of the comic book grins widely with two perfect teeth. I slam my hands down hard against it and stand.
Well, there you have it. Chapter 1. That was really great. Thank you for reading that. There was a lot of really great musicality, I think, in that prose, and it was really strong. You bring us into that scene well, and I can see why you've been getting, you know, why you've gotten some full manuscript requests off something like that. That's a really good, I think, example of all the things I just mentioned, and also the importance of, for other listeners and writers out there, make sure you read your work out loud. You can get a really good sense for how it flows by doing this exercise that Meg has done for us right here, right now.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, no, that was really great. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. So before we go our separate ways for now, do you have any last thoughts, words of wisdom that you'd like to share with listeners and other writers out there in the community on how to handle rejection?
I guess the final thing I would say is just when you're querying, know that you're not alone. There are thousands of us out there who are also querying, who are also in the trenches, who are also receiving dozens of rejections, and we are all here with you. And as Ryan had mentioned, there are those communities on Twitter that are very helpful to be part of, especially if just to reach out and know that other people are experiencing the same thing you're experiencing. We're here to commiserate with you when the rejections come, and we're here also to celebrate your success. And please do share your successes as well, so we are happy to know about them.
Definitely. And the moral of the story, like you mentioned even earlier, is just don't give up, just keep plugging away, and you will find that match someday.
Yes.
Well, thanks a lot for joining me for this episode of the show.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It was a delight.
And so concludes my conversation with Meg Gertner. A big thanks to her again for being part of the show. I don't know about you, but the biggest takeaway I feel she left us with was to never give up. If you love creating characters and weaving webs of fiction for them, all you have to do is keep on keeping on. The work is its own greatest reward after all, and if you're a writer like me or Meg who's in the middle of their own query process, remember the wise words of Angie Thomas. All it takes is one yes. If you're looking for more from Meg Gertner, you can find her on Twitter at Meg Gertner, that's MEGAERTNER, or you can find her at meggertner.com. Be sure to check back on June 16th for an episode featuring Kristen A. Oakley, who spoke with me about the hybrid publishing process. Then, on June 30th, we'll have the RightsCast debut of Daniel Swenson, who will join me to talk about plot structure and the release of his upcoming novel. July 7th will mark the release of an episode featuring fantasy writer and Rev Pit winner Daniel Maurer, who will speak with me about the importance of perseverance as well as how to navigate working one-on-one with an editor. There'll be plenty more to follow after that, but there are still a couple slots available for this year's episodes of the RightsCast. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to be on the show yourself, you can reach out to me on Twitter at IamRRCampbell, or get in touch with me through the contact page of my website at rrcampbellwrites.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, write on and write well.